the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, for all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God will bless us the reading of his precious word, and that which you've heard already this morning. We've been speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible reading, and also in the ministry of the word already by Brother Sutton. We noticed in John chapter 1 that the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word. And now we're reading here about the word of God. The word of God. And you know, it's something we could all do to know more of the scriptures of truth. To store the word of God up more in our minds and in our hearts. And of course, the best time to do it is when you're young. Get into the word of God and study it, and read it, and meditate upon it, and search it out. Here we find that the word of God, there's some definitions about it. We could read about the word of God as a lamp. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway. There's no need for us to go into error. There's no need for us to stumble along the pathway, because we have the word of God. It's the light for that purpose, to keep the feet of his saints. But neglect of the word of God, who knows where you may end up, or what you might make in some scrap heap of your life by neglecting the word of God. Oh, get into the word of God. It's a lamp, and light cannot be defiled, and you'll be led along a path that'll be well-pleasing to God. The word of God is also likened to bread. It's something we could feed on, something we could be strengthened by, and we all need it. This bread is something that we just don't take at certain seasons of the year. It's something we take day by day. It's something we all need. It's not just exclusively for certain people. The bread is for all. And the word of God is needed by every one of us, in spite of our age, in spite of our build, or our knowledge, or anything else about us. We all need the word, or the bread. And that bread is known as the word of God. Well, there are many things that the word of God is likened to, and something else is likened to seed. Peter says, being born again, not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, that liveth and abideth forever. The word of God is like seed. It's so inconspicuous. There's something about seed that it just seems to be, well, it's something that's just like dead and dormant. But nevertheless, within that seed, there's a great deal of power and ability within itself to perform. And the same with the word of God. What we must do is get into the word of God. Now here we notice the word of God is quick. That means it's living. The word of God is living and it's life-giving. We noticed in John 1 this morning in verse 4 that in him was life and the life was the light of man. What you can see then, given to the Lord Jesus Christ, for the most part can be applied to the word of God and can also be applied to God the Father. In him was life, and the life was light of man. The word of God is quick. It's living. Now, not only did the Lord Jesus Christ have life in himself, but he had power to give that life to whomsoever he would. And so does the word of God. The word of God is able to make you wise unto salvation. It will bring salvation to the worst of earth. For God is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The word of God is living. And the life that we get is life of God. Nothing short of it. The life that we get is eternal life. It'll never end. The life that we get is spiritual life. Something that we all stand in need of. And we can only have it through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Word. And then we notice, not only is the Word of God living, it's living, but you know, it's also powerful. It's powerful. Well, you know, it says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, as though it were explosive. It says that we can become children of God by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. To them give you power, or the right, or the authority. But here the word is, the word of God is energetic. That's where we get our word energy from. There's energy in the word. And it's made up of two words, which means inside, there's something working. Inside, there's something working in the Word of God. And it just takes you and I to go to the book, and it'll show itself onto us, and it'll become part of us as we take it up. In other words, when you go to a machine, you can see parts that could be moving parts. But when you go to the seed, you see that there's no moving parts. If there's anything working, it must be encased inside. And there you have what you might say, a sealed bearing. And everything that's going to work is out of sight. And the same with the Word of God. Until we delve into the depths of it. That's what we need today. Is people that will search out and dig deep into the Word of God. As men are doing into electronics and mechanics and space and all the rest. Let's get down to business and search diligently into the Word of God, which is thick and it's powerful. And as something that's powerful, it's active. It's effectual. It's able to bring something about. It's able to do something because of its capability. Then I want you to notice here, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's sharper. Sharper? Yes, there's sharpness to the Word of God. Any two-edged sword. The sword would speak of death. We notice in the case of Solomon, he wanted a sword to divide the child. That sword was going to be placed to divide the child. Death must come in. But it didn't take place. And then we notice in the case of Isaac, lay him on the altar and the knife was raised. But he wasn't slain. But the knife was raised. Death was going to take place. But it didn't take place. And now we notice here that the Word of God is going to slay. It's going to cut me off from all my selfish ambition and all my selfish ways that I might come back a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ with one ambition, that I might serve Him with singleness of heart and one accord. Hannah, as you remember, with a barren womb, all life was lost to her, she thought. She could not give birth to a child. And she just went on in her mowing and her prayer life. But in 1 Samuel 2, she said, He bringeth down to the grave. And He killeth and maketh alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up again. And so the Word of God searches me out and shows me I'm dead. Now here, the sharper than any two-edged sword. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, John saw the Lord Jesus Christ coming with a sharp two-edged sword in His mouth. Revelation 19, coming out of the nations on a white horse, was the Lord Jesus Christ with a sharp sword in His mouth. The Word of God, it ever liveth. It'll never pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall never pass away. And we see it in the book of Revelation, as that which is in the mouth of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. The Word is going to condemn in that day the sharp two-edged sword. Now, sharper than any two-edged sword. The two-edged sword here is a two-edged. It's from a word that means two mouths. To show you how the two edges are. Now you know a machete is sharp on one side. A butcher knife sharp on one side, but this sword is sharp on both sides. It cuts you both ways and each way. Now this sword goes forth sharper than any two-edged sword. And you know it's made up of two words that mean two mouths. Have you ever seen and hurt as much as we hate to think of it. Two people, and they're having an argument, and they're going at it, and they're using such cutting expressions and words against each other as though there were nothing sharper than that conversation, and the words that go forth would almost be able to slay one another. And that's the word of God. It's to cut fine and to go into the innermost depths of our being and to show us the failure in our life, the sin that's in our lives, and to convict us of our sin. It's piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit. There are five words now that are found nowhere else in the New Testament. And the first one is piercing, even to divide asunder of soul and spirit. Piercing, that which will enter in. The Word of God enters into our being like a searchlight to seek to find us out. As the surgeon takes the knife and when all is still, he only opens up what he has to. I was surprised when I found out, I thought a great operation. I didn't have it, but I heard the doctor the other time. It's only a 1-inch incision. And you know, they can go in there and take out the gallbladder. Some of you might be different with that, but this is what I heard from one of the surgeons. And I thought, well, how can they make a 1-inch incision and do so much? As I thought, I don't know a thing about it, really. I don't know a thing about it. But how can they get in there? But you see, it's the skill of the surgeon with the sharp, sharp tool that he uses to do his work, and the light that he has to go in and to perform his duties and to come away again. And so the Word of God would go into our innermost being with as sharp as a 2-edged sword and the divide between soul and spirit. That is to reach the heart. That is to dig out the conscience. You and I, the most of our sins are secret sins. We live a secret life, but remember, that which is spoken in the closets shall be made proclaimed upon the housetops in a coming day. Why not today allow the Word of God to search us out, that we may confess our sins, acknowledge our wrong, and seek to go on with God in a way that would be well-pleasing to Himself. So this sword, as it were, it pierces in to dividing asunder, and may dividing asunder between the soul and the spirit. The soul and the spirit are sometimes you cannot tell the difference between the two. They're very, very closely linked together. But you know, the soul really is self-conscious, and the spirit is God-conscious. But you know, in the scriptures sometimes we just cannot detect between the two. But the Word of God is so sharp as that sword would be, is able to divide between soul and spirit. This piercing, it is to go through. This piercing, it is to go through, to penetrate through, and that's what it will do. Even to dividing, or cutting in half, turning it into two pieces, as it were, that sword, if necessary, to get to the root of the matter. Remember, I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins to give to every man according to the fruit of his doings. God searches the innermost being. You see, God seeth, not as man seeth. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Today he's using his word to enter into the innermost being of man. And you and I should search and try away and turn again unto the Lord. Why it's so easy to throw on the hypocrite's mask or his garment and walk about as though everything was well. And you know, down in your heart of hearts, you're not right in the sight of God as to your path and your ways and your principles. Or that God may search us out in these conference meetings that we might have a desire to live more for himself. And of the joints and mouth, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The joints and the mouth are only found here as well in this portion of the Word of God in the New Testament. The joints
is a joint. And now, of course, the joints are something that are out of sight to the human eye. We can find them because we can see, we can locate them. But they're out of sight. They're under the flesh. But you see, we know where the joining is. There they are, beneath the surface. But you know, when it comes to the Word of God, God gets in there where the joining is, every part of us, and is able to search us out. But you know, when it comes to the marrow, how do we know where the marrow is? Well, we know it's in the bone. But we could never get to it. It's so well hid away. But the Word of God goes to the very, very depths, into the innermost part of our being, even into the marrow that's so hid away. And from that word marrow, we have the word mystery today. There are many things that are mysteries in the Word of God, and yet a mystery is a secret that is God wants to reveal to His beloved people. And God would get into that, the depths of our being, and search us out so that nothing is left unturned. I wonder, are we being honest today and desire to be searched out by God in that way? Because you see, as He would come in to the joints of the marrow, He's the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That is, He is able to criticize. We don't like critics. We don't like them, and I don't like them either. And I don't like to be criticized. Well, you know why? The people that criticize fail because of lack of knowledge. They do. They don't know all the circumstances, and yet they come and see something and they criticize. Just a minute now. Let me tell you the rest of the story. But they don't want to hear the rest of the story. They've already passed the judgment. But when it comes to God or to God's Word, God is the God of all knowledge. And when He criticizes or discerns, He does it fairly, honestly, justly, in every way. He is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now you don't know my thoughts. You don't know the intents of my heart. How can you fairly be fair now in judging me? You'd have to judge motives, which would be wrong. But you know, when I get to the Word of God, it judges my thoughts and the intents of my heart. When you minister the Word, that could be a way of judging me or criticizing me. And I should take the Word that you minister and see how it applies to my life. I want to go away from this conference a better man. A man with a greater desire to live for God and set aside the things of this passing scene. I want the Word of God to search out my heart and that I might throw out the dross after all. But the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That is the affections and maybe even deeper to the passions and the intentions. You know, we all have such big intentions. And some of them might be right and some of them might be wrong. But you know, the investigator can give you an honest appraisal. But you know what? Some people don't want that. They don't want that. They don't want corrective ministry. They don't want that at all. Leave me alone. Just give me some smooth thing to send me away with. Oh, friends, let us get away from that. And let us desire to hear the Lord Jesus Christ ministered and the Word of God spoken faithfully that we might be better men and women for the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. Every creature is manifest in the sight of God. Every creature. With Him, there is nothing hid. This word not manifest is another word that's not found anywhere else. You know, everything is open to God. There's nothing hid with God. What is spoken in darkness will be made known in the light. God knows all about it. There's nothing hidden from God. It's going to be brought out into the open. Far better to bring it into the open today and have it judged and acknowledge it the wrong and then go on for God in a quiet, consistent manner. None, neither is any creature not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him whom we have to do. All things are naked. You know, the man in Mark chapter 1 didn't need to be preached to. When the Lord Jesus Christ entered into the synagogue, he said, "We know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Art thou come to destroy us?" In the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was convicted in his conscience. He was condemned already. Art thou come to destroy us? As we go through the Word of God, we'll find the same thing. It will tell us where we're wrong and help us to show that we may correct our way. Art thou come to destroy us? The other man said, "Art thou come to torment us before our time?" He realized that's what he deserved. In the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8, these men went out from the eldest to the youngest, being convicted in their own conscience. Well, that's what the Word of God will do, because all things are naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Do you believe that? Everything about your life, nothing hidden. Now, naked and open. Naked and open here, you'll find these two words over in the book of Genesis. And it has to do with Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob. Now remember, Rebekah now is out to deceive her husband. And she takes her son Jacob and she puts skins about his arms. And she's sending him into her husband Isaac. But it says she covered his arms with skin. And she left bare the neck. Or she left naked and open. That part of him was left naked and open. His neck. Now, this neck that's left open, it just goes back to this. The priest, when he would take an animal to slay it for an offering, would take hold of the animal by the neck. Why, he's going to check that animal for any blemishes and to see is there any flaw in it. And then if he finds it without blemish, he's able then just to take the knife to the neck and open it up right there and use it as an offering. But he had it by the neck. That word neck there is the word open. Open. Now, when a wrestler is in the ring and he's fighting, and he's, what is he grappling for? He's grappling to take hold of his opponent by the neck. When he gets him by the neck, he has him in a position where the other man is almost helpless. And that's what the Word of God does to us. When we allow the Word of God to work, it'll bring us to the place to see, "I am weak, but thou art mighty. When I am weak, then am I strong." And the wrestler would grab by the neck and bend back the neck. Bend it back. What does that do? The mouth is shut. The mouth is closed. In Matthew 22, the man came in without a wedding garment. How came this fellow in without a wedding garment? And it says the man was speechless. The word that was spoken just seemed to get him by the neck. And he couldn't speak. He was speechless. That's what the Word of God does. That every mouth may be stopped. And all the world become guilty before God. You and I have nothing to boast of. If we're going to boast, let us glory in the Lord. Let us rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. For we have nothing in ourselves to boast of. So they took hold and put back the neck. And now, when we come to this as well, here's a prisoner, and he's there till the day of execution. When he's going to be executed, they bring him out before an audience of people. Why, the crowd, they want to see this man that's going to be executed. And you know, what would happen would be, the man would hang his head, and so would you. You'd hang your head in shame and try and hide your face. They didn't want that to happen. They wanted this man's face to be open before all the people, so the people could be convinced in their own mind the right man was going to be executed and the right man should be exposed. How were they going to bring that about? They took a knife and they braced it under his chin And they marched him before the people. And as he was open, there he was. He was naked before all the people as he walked across that sea. Oh, friends, today, I wonder, do we realize that everything is naked and open before the eye of him with whom we have to do? Why, when they would take that animal and slay it, cut its throat, and strip it down, and just leave everything open from there. Oh, let us remember, why not correct things in our lives now, before the judgment seat of Christ, when all things will be naked and open at that day? Why not now? And acknowledge our wrongs and our sins. Years ago, I'm a knitter as my hobby, and I entered the knitting into the exhibition. I was a teenager, and I did a very, very fancy sweater. It was very, very fancy. And the judge that went by and looked that over, he looked it over very carefully and judged it. But you know, I didn't get first prize. I got second prize. Often I got first prize. But on this occasion, I only got first prize. And you know why? Well, because the judge, he looked that garment over. And if you looked it over on the back and on the front, why, it was a picture on every part of it. Of many, many colors. All worked in. Why didn't I get second prize? Because the judge, he took that sweater and started undoing the buttons. And he opened it up. And when he looked inside, I hadn't sewn the ends in. Far as he was concerned, it was incomplete. Listen, friends, all things are naked and open. Are before the eye of him with whom we have to do. The judge, the true judge, the righteous one. Although we might now get a good look at ourselves and see ourselves as God would see us and seek to go on in a walk to be well pleasing to God. The little time we're left down here.